continue looking at our fellowship as a supernatural fellowship as we prepare for our all-night believers meeting coming up the last Friday of this month. And we've tried to achieve one thing in this series of meetings, which is both the teaching and the practice of the Word of God. That's the intent of the series that we're looking at. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. From verse 4. Here's the Apostle Paul by the Spirit of God declaring to the church. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge. Hallelujah. And so we've established the fact that the new creation is a being that is able to speak supernaturally because it's endowed with supernatural faculties that make it a reality. The new creation, every single person who is born again, has fulfilled that scripture in Christ that says, in my name they shall speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. So here he says that, I thank my God on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ simply means through your union with Christ, there's a grace you have received, an innate ability that belongs to you by reason of your new birth. So every single believer who has come into the new birth experience has this particular ability. He says, I thank my God always on your behalf. Always simply means that Paul calls to remembrance the fact that every believer has this ability. Now, you notice that last week we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So before he goes to chapter 14, he started from chapter 1. So before he gave them instructions and directions, he acknowledged the fact that they were believers and they had the supernatural ability to express the mind of God per time. So he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace or the ability of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. How does that ability find expression? He says, in everything, say everything, you are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge. Since even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So the way God has ensured that you and I will never be without the faculties of the Spirit is to make us wealthy with all utterance and all knowledge. Hallelujah. Now, as we delve into the teaching of God's word, and we look at how we unravel those gifts. Because it says, you come behind in no gift. There is no endowment that a believer lacks. It was given to you by birth in Christ Jesus. So all the gifts that you require are already inside of you. Then through the teaching of God's word, they begin to find expression because you are learning how to yield to the things of the Spirit. But it says you have been enriched by him, endowed by him. You were made wealthy by him. In all utterance and all knowledge. Hallelujah. Then we said that when you look through the Act of Apostles, look at Act of Apostles. What we have in the book of Acts is the experience of the saints as they began to explore the things of the Spirit. You won't find an explanation in the book of Acts. So while you have experiences of people yielding to the Spirit in chapter 2, the first time the church yielded to the things of the Spirit in chapter 2, you will have the explanation in the epistles. So you can't use the Act of Apostles as a guideline for teaching. You can use it to enumerate the experiences and see what happened to them. Then when you look at the epistles, you have the explanation. And if you don't understand that principle, you are going to be misled by what is stated in the Act of Apostles. Now, in the Act of Apostles, this is what you call like an historical account of the early church, how they began. So details of how they got to that point is not really stated there. Look at Acts chapter 2 again. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Why were they with one accord in one place? In chapter 1, Jesus gave them clear instructions. Okay? He told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they are endued with power. He told them. Okay? So you find that also in Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. It says, they should hold on until they are endued with power. So they gathered in one place because they were following instructions. Then in that same chapter 1, the Bible says that Jesus taught them for 40 days. Look at chapter 1. Look at chapter 1. Let me read quickly from verse 1. It says, the former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, that is after his resurrection, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Did you see that? Look at verse 8. But you shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the heart. Hallelujah. Now again, when you're studying the Bible, understand that though it's translated in English, the original language which was written is not English. So if you look at the word receive in verse 8, in your normal way of looking at the word receive, you would think it's a passive thing. But the word receive there is not passive. The word received there was an instruction for them to lay hold on something that is spiritual in nature that they will need to express by faith. It's the Greek word lambado. It means to lay hold. Sometimes it says you seize. It means that which is freely offered, you take hold of it. So Jesus was teaching them, how do you take hold of what you can't see? And the first way they began to express was through utterance. So go back to the chapter 2 now. Look at chapter 2. Verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and he filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit did what? Gave them utterance. So every one of them, by reason of new birth, they had utterance. What they did on the day of Pentecost was to yield to the Spirit. How did they yield to the Spirit? They began to speak. They used the utterance that they had to speak. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, the degree to which they spoke, or the degree to which utterance flowed forth, was a function of how much they yielded, how much they spoke. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, if you read it in that way, what happens is, this is the picture you have in your mind. The more God was supplying utterance, the more they were speaking. Is that how it looks like? Hello, are we together? The more God supplied utterance, the more they were speaking. So if you stay with the book of Acts, you have their experience. Now, you need to look at the epistles to see how did they get to that experience. That is what the writer of the book of Acts never told us. Let me read a little further and let me show you something else. Let's read from verse 5. Now, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noise, now, let me read the verse 8. They were dwelling where in Jerusalem? Jews, devout men out of what? Every nation. Under where? What's the nationality of those who were dwelling there? Jews. So you know you can have more than, you can be a citizen of more than one nation, yes or no? Isn't it? Saul was a citizen of more than one nation. Okay, he was a Roman Gentile, or he was a Roman Jew rather. So see what this is. Now when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man had them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue when we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and parts of Libya and Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So here's the picture you will have. You will have the impression that when they began to speak with other tongues, as he gave them utterance, they were speaking the language of those who were present. That can't be so. The only way a man can speak with tongues and speak the language of those who are present is if the person who is present is given the gift of interpretation. Now, let me explain again. You see 120 people speaking at once. How can you distinguish the language you are hearing in your own language? The only way you can is if they are saying the same thing. And all of you can hear what they are saying at the same time. Hallelujah. Who were they speaking to? Jews. What happened in Acts chapter 2? They spoke with tongues and they gave the interpretation. What was interpretation? They spoke of the wonderful works of God. Can you see that written here? No. When you get to the epistles, you now understand that on the day of Pentecost, what took place was tongues and what? Interpretation of tongues. So it was when they interpreted that everyone had what was spoken. What somebody what they said? They had them speak of the wonderful works of God, or them testify to the praises of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, think about it. 120 people all could speak with tongues. With that ability came ability to also interpret for the hearers. They did something unique. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. We're jumping, but it's important we get this. 1 Corinthians 14. They fulfilled a scripture. As of this time, the epistles of Paul were yet to be written. So what the church had was experiences. They couldn't explain the experiences. Nobody taught the experiences. Jesus taught them for 40 days. They stayed with the teachings of Jesus. They began to walk in line with the teachings of Jesus. And as we go on, we'll begin to see some clarity, because the apostles, they taught by word of mouth. Nothing was written down when they first started, until the epistles were now gradually written over time. So every day they gathered, they fellowshipped, and the apostles were the major teachers, and they shared to the congregation, they shared the things that Christ had taught them. So the revelation about gifts of the Spirit, about the operations of believers yielding to the Spirit, was not fully known yet. But look at what Paul says here. Therefore, if the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are what? Unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are what? Mad. So on the day of Pentecost, people came who didn't have eternal life, like the 120. Now as we go on the book of Acts, you notice that some of them began to say, these men are full of new wine. But they were astonished at what they were hearing. Paul says, when the old church become together in one place, and all, say all, say all. So let me ask you a question. Is this scriptural for every member of the local assembly to be able to speak with tongues? Is this scriptural? Now, look at those who refer to those who speak with tongues as mad. If they're coming, those who are unlearned or untrained in spiritual things, and those who are unbelievers, that's a bad company to be in. It's telling you those who are not schooled in things of the Spirit and unbelievers sometimes act the same way. They come to the same conclusion. So a believer who is not schooled in things of the Spirit will still look at spiritual things as foolishness. That's what he's saying. Said, we did not say you are mad. Said, when you are come together. So, for instance, when we gather together on Sunday morning and we are all praying in tongues, is that scriptural or not? It's scriptural. It's a practice of the church. In fact, that's one of the ways we show that we're the church of the living God. Because Jesus said, in my name, those who believe or those who are baptized into my name, those who have come into the new birth, they will all speak with new tongues. So it's normal for us. But look at what happens next. Verse 24. But if all, hallelujah, who is the all here? The same all in the previous verse. If all that spoke with tongues, if those all now prophesy, and they come in one that what? Believes not, or is the audience the same? Is the audience in verse 23 and verse 24 the same? Yes. Is the act of those in verse 23 and 24 the same? No. So in verse 23, we have the whole church who have the ability to express itself in tongues. The same group of people are now expressing themselves in prophecy. Can you see that? So he says, but if all prophesy, they come in one that believes not or unlearned, he is what? Convicted of all. Is what? Judged of all. The word judge, it doesn't mean punish. It doesn't mean to pass sentence. The word judge means, it means that they are able to reveal to him the things he's passing through and give him the mind of God concerning it. Hallelujah. It's not judgment as in you are going to hell. No. The word judge means that he's able to tell him what the mind of God is for him per time. So it says, if all prophesy, who is all? The all that spoke with tongues. So, in the early church, in Acts chapter 2, they all spoke with tongues. Then they got to a point, they interpreted what they said for the people that came around to hear. The implication of this is this. It's not possible to, all that came together on the day of Pentecost, when they began to speak with other tongues, they interpreted so that those who came, who were unbelievers, they could what? Participate in the things that they said. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Is that simple enough? So, on the day of Pentecost, what took place? Tongues and the interpretation of tongues. That's what took place. And notice something important. All the 120 who spoke with tongues were able to what? Interpret. All of them. So, there is no such thing as a believer who can speak with tongues and cannot interpret. But there's such a thing as a believer who can speak and has not yet acknowledged the ability to interpret. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 1. Let's start from verse 1. Quickly. Verse 1. Follow after love and desire what? Spiritual gifts. But rather that you may prophesy. Let me quickly make a distinction. When Peter introduces the Spirit to us in Acts of Apostles chapter 2, verse 18. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. I want to show us a distinction that's important. We'll come back here. Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall what? Receive the what? Gift of the Holy Ghost. Remember we said that when you're studying scriptures, one of the reasons why it's important to find out the original was is because the King James just tells you, gift here, gift here, gift here. But it doesn't really tell you the difference in the words used. Amen? So when you use the word gift here, the emphasis here is on what God does. God will give you the gift. You shall receive the gift. The focus on the word gift here is on how freely God gives to men the gift. Say amen. I don't want to really bore you with the Greek word. But the implication is this. Peter's approach when it comes to things of the Spirit is to tell us God always freely gives the things of the Spirit to his children. That's Peter's approach. Paul takes us a step further. And the reason why I'm making a distinction is because when Peter emphasizes the gift, he speaks about the word receive, or you lay hold. When Paul teaches us about the gift, he doesn't speak only about the gift, but something that God freely gives. He also talks about it as something that is now permanently resident in everyone who has received it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there are two words. There are about four words really, but there are two major words we're focusing on. There's this word here, the gift here, that's Doria, that speaks about God's part of the deal. Then there's the word charisma, that's the part of that which becomes an endowment that is resident inside everyone who has received it. Interestingly, in classical Greek, that word is used to describe an ability somebody has. For instance, we have entertainers, that people who entertain others, and they are very skilled at oration. There are people who are very skilled at carrying out this craftsmanship. They call it charisma. That person has charisma. That's how they used to use the word. But the communication of the scriptures here, Paul now uses the same word to imply something. He talks about an ability which once you have received, never departs from you. It means once God has given it, it becomes resident inside of you as a living word faculty. That's why you find the word in Romans chapter 11 verse 29. Look at Romans chapter 11 verse 29. For the one. Is that singular or plural? So the gifts or the endowments, the equippings, the faculties of God and his calling, they are without what? Repentance. Once you have received, taken delivery, it never goes away. Interesting as the nature, or that's the word that was used to describe eternal life that you have received, which is once you have been given, it never goes away. It calls it charisma. It becomes a faculty that is resident inside of you, that you are responsible for the disposition of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pay attention, that's very important. Because as we go on, you understand when it says the gifts and the calling of God, it means the responsibility on whether the gift is in expression or not, no longer rests in God's hands. It now rests in the hands of the person who what? Has the ability. Say, I have the ability of God resident in my spirit. I'm endowed with every good gift and every perfect gift. I have all utterance and all knowledge. I've been enriched already. Hallelujah. So, Paul takes us a bit further than what Peter said. Peter tells us the nature of the gift, it is freely given. It is handed over to you by God. Then Paul now tells us that which he gives becomes an endowment or a faculty inside of you, which means you never have to ask God to give you again what he has given you. It never goes away. In fact, let me show you something. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul is writing to Timothy. Verse 14, please. Verse 14. Look at Paul's letter to Timothy. He says, neglect not what? The gift that is where? In thee, which was given thee by prophecy. With what? The laying on of hands of the presbytery. Very interesting instruction. He says, don't neglect. What is Paul referring to? A spiritual faculty. It was communicated to Timothy. Timothy, you have this faculty resident inside of you. He says, now, don't neglect. Don't move away from it. don't depart from it in your consciousness, which means keep yourself aware of the fact that this deposit is there. That tells you that the deposit can be there, and you may not be aware, because that is there doesn't mean it will just show up. Hallelujah. You know, if you can sing, you can sing. How many of you know that? If you can't sing, you can complete this sentence in your mind. But if you can sing, you can sing. If you wake up, you may need to clear your throat because you are just waking up from sleep. But you can what? Sing. Now, if you are equipped to lead worship, you can lead worship. It's not that it's wrong to prepare, but if we wake you up suddenly, you can always what? Lead worship. All that it requires to get me to teach is ask a question. So even if you say, Pastor, are you ready to teach now? I may not be ready in terms of like, I don't have any subjects at hand. But if you ask a question, the teaching ability will come forth. Do you understand? Because it's what? A resident ability. You don't always feel like you have it, but the Bible says you have it nevertheless. So Paul is writing Timothy. Now, Timothy is a bishop, a pastor of pastors. If Paul can be telling Timothy, neglect not. Don't move away. Don't turn aside. Don't ignore that spiritual faculty, because it can be ignored. Which is, you will be without the experience of that gift to which you will think that maybe the gift is gone. Hallelujah. Let me say this. Everything of the spirit you have ever walked in is still inside of you till now. The reason why you walked in it at the time you're no longer walking is because you have neglected it. Because spiritual things can be neglected. So it says, neglect not the gift. And he gives instructions. It was given thee by prophecy within the verse of the first breath. Look at verse 15. It says, meditate upon what? These things. What are these things? He said a lot. But if you want to limit these things to verse 14, meditate on the fact that a gift was given to you by prophecy. Hands were laid upon you. A faculty is alive inside of you. Meditate on it. He's telling you something has to happen to your mind to cause a release of those supernatural faculties. Can you see them? No. Is it within you? Yes. Can you express it when you understand? Yes. Hallelujah. So he says, meditate upon this. Is give yourself wholly to them that you're profiting, or that the expression of those things will come to the surface. Go back to 1 Corinthians 14. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, let's start now from verse 1. Follow after love and desire spirituals. You notice what gives this italicized. Okay? It says, but rather that you may prophesy. Interesting. Paul uses the word desire to express how we get into spiritual operations. The word desire. Desire is of the mind, of the soul. Desire means the slant of your mind will determine the expression of spiritual realities. The spiritual realities are there. Spiritual is the word pneumatic, and that's things that pertain to your spirit, man. Those things are there. It now says desire is how you those things find outward expression. It says follow after charity or follow after love. Say, I have love on the inside of me. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. So a believer doesn't lack love. You are born of love. You are a love being. It now says, love itself has internal activity. Follow the activity of love on your inside. It's teaching you how to yield in things of the Spirit. Which means, anytime you want to express things of the Spirit, as long as love is the motivation, you're on point. So if I come to you, for instance, I want to express things of the Spirit, because I want to bless you, edify you, give you a blessing, I am walking love towards you. It says, I'm always right. So it says, follow after the activity of love. It says, and desire spirituals. Desire. He's not asking you to ask God to give you. He's saying the spirituals are resident inside of you, now desire. So desire is a function of the mind, which is have a strong yearning for the things of the Spirit. When was the last time you meditated that when I get to church today, I walk up to Sister so and so and I will give her a word from the Lord? That's talking about desire. Your desire is a function of what you focus your mind on, your attention on. Hallelujah. It says desire. I mean, let it be a craving on your inside. Set your affection towards this direction. Desire spirituals. It now says, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what he didn't say. He didn't say desire that you may have the gift of prophecy. He didn't say that. He said desire that you may what? Prophesy. In other words, he's telling you, it's not a function of the gift, because the gift is already there. The issue is the expression of the gift. Say, I have the gift of prophecy. Because I have the Spirit. You have to take Paul's words one by one to understand what he's saying. He didn't say desire the gift of prophecy. No, he says desire the expression of the gift. What does that tell you? The gift is already where? There. Say the gift is already in me now. Glory to God. It says follow after love. Desire spirituals. But rather that you may what? Prophesy. So if you look at verse 1, you read verse 2. You look at verse 1, you read verse 3. You look at verse 1, you read verse 4. You look at verse 1, you read verse 5. You look at verse 1, you read verse 6. All the way down, you understand exactly what the Spirit of God is teaching by the Apostle Paul. I just gave you a clue about how do you read 1 Corinthians 14. What's the central point? Follow after the activity of love. Say love is on my inside. Love guides me. Love leads me. Love tells me what to do. It now says, and as simple as that instruction is, when I get to meetings, how do I sometimes know who to minister to? A lot of times by revelation, but some other times by the activity of love. If I just feel drawn to you, and every time I'm preaching, I just keep calling your direction. I know I ought to do something in your direction. I may not know fully yet because God is a God of faith. Amen. So what God expects me to do is that I should act on that urge, that prompting. Now, because love always wants to bless the other person. I may not know what I will say when I get to you, but when I get to you, I will know what to say. Do you understand? That's where faith applies. It says, follow the activity of love. So it's telling you, there is already activity of love in your heart at all times. That's one of the reasons why it's evil to walk in strife. I don't entertain strife for a day. But some people are gifted. For 3 weeks, they're in it. I don't know how they do it. If they're fellowship with God every day, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they get away with it. You know, it says follow the activity, which is you will be, your heart will be a bit dim or dull to the activity of love if you keep walking in strife. It says follow charity and then desire spirituals. It says, but rather that you may prophesy. The word rather means that let this be a priority. Your desiring spirituals should end in you prophesying. Then it begins to tell you step by step. How do you start? Verse 2, quickly. Quickly. He that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands, howbeit in the spirit is what? He's speaking mysteries. Verse 3, quickly. But he that prophesies. So he's taking your mind back to verse 1. Why do I say you should desire spirituals in order that you may prophesy? Or to why you can end up in prophecy. This is the reason. He says, if I'm speaking in tongues, I'm speaking directly to God. No man understands what I'm saying, because tongues is primarily a message designed for communication between man and God. So he says, I desire spirituals. Where do I start from? I start speaking with tongues. But he has told you already that when you are desiring spirituals, let the end point be that you are able to what? Prophesy. He's now about to explain to you, why am I saying that in your desire of spiritual things, prophecy should be uppermost in your mind. He begins to explain. Verse 3 says, because he that prophesies is not speaking, is speaking unto men edification and exhortation and comfort. Verse 4. He says, he that speaks in unknown tongue edifies who? Himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. Can you see that? So if I stay with tongues, I am not just edifying myself, I'm walking love strictly to myself. As long as I stay with tongues, who am I speaking to when I'm speaking in tongues? I'm speaking to God, I'm speaking to myself. A part of what I'm saying is communication between me and God. Another part is edifying or establishing or strengthening me. He now says, the reason why I say when you start out with spirituals, your desire should be to end up prophesying is because when I move over from just tongues to prophesying, I am going to actually speak to men edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. Which will fulfill walking in love. Say amen. Are you following this morning? So, notice the terminology he's using. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 quickly. I would that you all, say we all. Notice, Paul is writing to a whole church. Incidentally, history says this church was quite a large church. Eventually became about 50,000 members. He says, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather. So he introduces that word again, rather, that you see in verse 1. So every time you're reading each of the verses in chapter 14, you go back to the first verse to understand what he's saying in the preceding verses. So if you read verse 1, go back to verse 1, we go back to verse 5 now, quickly. Please be fast on the keyboard. Verse 1 again. Quickly, verse 1. We'll have to move faster than this. Follow after one. charity, and desire spirituals, but rather you may. So if I ask you a question, what is the focal point of chapter 14? What should you focus your desire on? What should you focus your desire on? Can you desire what you cannot have according to scriptures? Can you desire what you cannot have? Are you meant to prophesy? Can you prophesy? How do you get into prophecy? Desire spirituals. Where do you start spirituals from? He that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men, but unto God. So you and God having a tete-a-tete. You are communicating. Part of that communication is you and God. Another part is you being blessed by what's coming out. He now says, do you want to walk in love? He said, yes. Why don't you not just stop with whatever you have been enriched by in your communication with God? Can you give some of that enrichment to somebody else? How will you do that? If you make it stay in the realm of tongues alone, it will bless who? It will bless who? Who else should you bless? Others. So, speaking in tongues only is good as long as you are by yourself. It's legitimate, it's alright, it's fine. You speak to yourself and to God. But what does the instruction in chapter 14 say? It says, you should rather desire to what? Prophesy. Why do you need to be prophesied? Because he that prophesies speaks unto men edification, what? Exhortation. And let me ask you a question. Does God want men to be edified? Does he want men to be blessed? Look at verse 5 now. I will that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you want prophesy. Look at that emphasis again. For greater is he, that's King James translation. Greater is he that prophesies. If he's prophesying, is he walking in love? Is he walking in love? So it says, greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interprets, that the church may receive what? Edifying. When I'm prophesying, who's receiving edifying? Me or the church? The church majorly. So he says, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy, for greater is he. You will think the emphasis of greater is on the individual. No. The emphasis of greater is on the function the individual is performing. What function is he performing? He says, the one who stays with tongues alone is not doing as much good in local assembly as the one who moves from tongues, interprets it, and begins to prophesy. The one who gets over into prophecy is of greater benefit to the church than the one who stays with tongues. So the emphasis on the individual is on the function of the individual. So look at what it says. I want all of you to speak with tongues. But you can do better by prophesying. Because the one who has stepped over into prophecy, how does he step over? He has decided to interpret whatever is said in tongues. Hallelujah. That's prophecy. Somehow in our minds, we seem to think that it takes extra effort to interpret after I've spoken. The substance of what you said in tongues is what gives back to the substance or what you give forth as interpretation. It's the same thing. One cannot exist without the other. You can't have interpretation without tongues. But if you have tongues, that's already what the substance, it will automatically give back to what? Interpretation. So the challenge is not that you don't have interpretation, is that you don't move on to give the interpretation. Hallelujah. So you don't move on. Now, again, look at what Paul said to them in verse 24 again. I'm taking you back and forth. It's important that you get this. Verse 24. Look at verse 24. But if all prophesy, say all. Say all. That includes me. In this local assembly, I'm part of the all. I can speak with tongues. I can prophesy. He said, if all. There's no question about, are there some among you? All you do is tongues. He says, if all spoke with tongues, the same all start to prophesy. What changed? They interpreted whatever they said in tongues. And they did it consciously. They did it willfully and willingly. That's what they did. If all. That phrase is very important. All means all. It means everyone in that church had the ability. Hallelujah. When you come together and you all speak with tongues, and they're coming those who are unlearned, and unbelievers, will they not say? So all of you have the supernatural language that shows that you are sons of God. He says, when others come in, you can switch. Or whatever you were communicating in tongues, can you bring forth the fruit of it in understanding? That's prophecy. So I've said some things in tongues. When I try to say what I said to you in tongues, in understanding, is called interpretation. And I'm now allowing you to enjoy the same edification I was having by myself and God alone. I'm now bringing it forth to you. Say amen. So let me say it again. He that speaks in tongues is not speaking to men. So tongues not probably meant for men. That's why I said something last week that when someone is speaking in tongues, never try to understand by your mind. Your mind was not designed to capture it. You are to wait for interpretation. Interpretation comes from the same source the tongues came from. It came from the utterance that the person has in the spirit. So it will also bring forth the fruit of what? Interpretation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It will also bring forth. So it's a deliberate practice of spiritual things. Now, yes, the challenge some of us have, we start, but we don't continue. That's what you call continuity. Look at verse 13. King James is wonderful, really. That's why you need other translation sometimes. Wherefore, or because of all that I've said, let him, say him, that speaks in tongues, do what? That he may, wait, because some of you are thinking, that prayer is a, oh Father, my Father, my Father. I see, when people pray that prayer, is that the first Father I didn't hear? You have to, people just coin things like that. Nobody even checks to see whether it's scripture. My Father, my Father. And what they are going to see next is contrary to the Father. Have you noticed? My Father, my Father. All my enemies in Father, Father. I don't know. Now, it says, wherefore, let him that speaks in tongues pray that may what? Interpret. If you follow the trend of what he has been saying, never take a verse out of its context. What has he been saying? In verse 5, he told you, I would that you all speak with tongues. Prayer that he prophesied of greater use and benefit to the church is the one who prophesies than the one who just says, speaks in tongues. Except the one who spoke in tongues gives you what? The interpretation. So he's emphasizing one thing throughout this chapter. When you take the communication, the fellowship you have with God, you bring it out in a language others can understand. You have walked in love and you have blessed the church. He says that is the purpose of what? Spirituals. So when he says, wherefore, the one who has stayed with tongues alone, let him pray that he may interpret. That one, let him, doesn't mean say, oh God, give me interpretation. Is that wrong? Is not wrong. Let him pray simply, how did you start praying in verse 2? He that speaketh in unknown tongues, speaks not of the member, not of God. If you continue and you tarry with your desire in place, what will comfort after? Interpretation. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Is that clear? So, Pastor, can I pray that God give interpretation? Yes, you can. But I show unto you a more excellent way. Start with knowing that you have interpretation. It's a long distance for you to say, oh God, give me. Oh God, give me that saying I don't have. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Does the Bible say you have? Do you have? On the testimony of scripture, do you have? Are you going to allow your experience to determine what you have or the word of God? What does God call faith? That you allow God's word to determine what you acknowledge per time. So when the Bible says, again, I use the Corinthian church, not the Ephesian church, the Corinthian church, people that Paul called carnal. He says, all of you spoke in tongues. All of you switched when people came in. That means they were trained. They were taught. They had practiced. None of them said, I can't. He now says, among you there may be some who are still thinking, I only do tongues. You don't only do tongues, you have only done tongues because tongues is all you have chosen to do. But you can do more than tongues. You can what? Interpret. You can what? Prophesy. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. Say with me, it's no more difficult to prophesy than to speak with tongues. Acts chapter 2, verse 15. Acts 2 verse 15. Peter standing up. Peter is responding to the people that came on the day of Pentecost. But Peter standing up with 11 lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. What is Peter doing? He's explaining what happened in Acts 2 verse 1 to 4. They were all filled with Holy Ghost and they began to speak. So Peter began to explain. Look at Peter's explanation. Verse 16. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day, 9 a.m. in the morning. Next verse. But this is that which was what? Spoken by the prophet Joel. Next verse. It shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. What will be the result? And your sons and your daughters shall stop. Are you a son? Are you a daughter? Can you prophesy? What did Joel miss out in his prophecy? Joel did not tell us that what I'm telling, calling prophecy, you will start with tongues. Joel didn't tell us. Joel just told us you shall prophesy. So that means if Joel says that everyone who has a spirit should prophesy, and you started with tongues, you have not fulfilled scripture. If you don't end in what? Prophecy. How many of you understand what I just said now? So what did Joel see by the spirit? All of them have the ability to speak by inspiration, every single believer. What did Joel say? He didn't tell us it will start with tongues. What did Jesus tell us? Jesus said, in my name, they shall speak with new tongues. What was Jesus trying to say? You will be able to get into prophecy. Is that simple enough? Very simple. So, on the day of Pentecost, they were filled. They began to speak. When they fulfilled that scripture, the minute they began to speak, they interpreted, they were prophesying. By the time the crowd came, they had interpreted and gave them prophecy. Peter began to explain. The Bible said, or Joel has already said, it shall come to pass in the last days, when I pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And that word pour out is important. It means to shed forth, or to empty out once and for all. To empty in such a way that once you give, there is no more left from that source to give. That's what pour out. To empty out my spirit. That's the same word that Paul used in Acts 2:33. Peter used in Acts 2:33. When it says that Jesus, he being by the right hand of God exalted, he has shed forth, or he had emptied out this. So when God gives his spirit, he has given you all that he has to offer. He doesn't give you the spirit in measures. You are the one who receives the measures. Say, I have all the spirit I need to have. But your yielding is in degrees. How do you get to yield? Paul is teaching us. He's giving us instructions. Did they have that instruction in chapter 2 of Acts? They didn't have the instructions. What did they have in chapter 2 of Acts? What Jesus told them in chapter 1? What does they have? Peter knew Joel's prophecy. What Joel's prophecy? I will pour out my spirit. You shall all sons of God, they shall prophesy one by one. Say, I'm a son. And if you're a daughter, say, I'm a daughter. Say, I can't prophesy. Because it is written concerning me. Let me say it again. Prophesying is not a function of those who are spirit. We coined that phrase on campus. Those are the spirit people. But there is nobody who is born again who is not spirit. If any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Say, I have the spirit of Christ within me. So, Joel has seen you. Joel has seen you. That you have the spirit. Not in the way Joel had it. In the way Joel never had it. Joel has seen that at will you can stand up and speak by inspiration. Joel couldn't do that. David saw a time will come, he will stand up, having the Spirit of God, not needing music to start. Don't disappoint them. Think about it. Joel saw a day will come, men will have the Spirit. Not they will have just the activity, they will have the Spirit. To have means to possess the Spirit as a possession. A possession simply means it's a faculty that is inside of you that you can express when you want to. Paul now teaches how do you get into it when you want to. That's what Paul is teaching. And he's teaching the old church. Hallelujah. I gave an illustration last week because it was important. Let me ask again. How many of us have been to white garment churches? You've been to white garment churches? Have you been part of them? Okay, if you're not part of them, you've been part of them. Okay. If you are not part of them, you went. Let me see. You went. If you're not part of them, you went. Have you seen them prophesying? Okay. Have you noticed it's very dramatic? You have not seen that. It's very dramatic. Have you seen anybody prophesying there without drama? It's dramatic. Something has to shake. In fact, they will shake. They will jump. Then they never prophesy without music playing. So now it's fast music. Then the person is seated down, waiting for a trance. That's how familiar spirits come in. Why is he waiting for his trance? Because they don't have the Spirit of God. And there are other spirits that accommodate them. Because demon spirits like drama. You understand? So I'm saying that because even when you leave that setting, some of the practice of that setting doesn't leave you. So when you come to church now you are born again. You are spirit filled. When you want to prophesy, you say, ah, ja, ja, ja.
cha, 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 cha. Because you are thinking, they can't know it's the spirit if I don't shake. Meanwhile, nothing is even shaking you. That's the problem. Nothing is shaking you, but you know you have to just shake because that's how to convince people that he is here. Who is here? When did he leave? He has always been here. Yes, so the drama that is there, some of us have not even gone here from the drama yet. And like some people want to speak, when we're having a meeting, they sense the urge to speak or to prophesy. When the pastor is not responding, you have to show. And then one kind of song starts coming up because you have to let us know that the Bible says the spirit of the prophet is up there. If they don't allow you to speak, you can calm down and sit down. Or go to one of the pastors and say, I sense you say something. Pastor says that you can't. Since you can't, you just what? Keep quiet. You say, you are ignoring God. No, we are not. We may be ignoring you, but we're not ignoring God. In other words, the difference between the old and the new is monumental. Is huge. Is huge. How did the prophesy under the Old Testament? Only men of God spoke as they were moved. The word moved implies physical sensations are involved. Why? They were spiritually dead. They didn't have God's spirit living inside of them. So there needed to be a sensation for them to know God is at work. Do you need the same sensation? No. You don't need to shake. You can be calm. In fact, if you shake too much, we are suspicious. Do you know whether it is the spirit of God or a spirit, any spirit? In other words, the difference between the old and new is huge, which is the way Moses prophesied is not the way you will prophesy because you are alive unto God. Say, I'm alive unto God. I have the spirit of God living inside of me. Look at what Jesus said to them in John chapter 14. We'll come back here. John chapter 14 and verse 16. John 14:16. Those words are important because when we begin to express the things of the Spirit, someone says, are they cooking it up? No, we're not. It's inside. We're expressing it. Look at what Jesus said. I will pray the Father, it shall give you another comforter. The word give is the same word as what gifts you, to endow you. They don't mind. It says to endow you with another comforter. In what manner, in what way, that he may what? Abide with you forever. Stop. The implication is this: the way you'll be giving the Spirit, it won't come and go, it won't lift and settle, it will abide with you where forever. Now, look at the next verse for clarification. Look at what says the next verse: even the Spirit of what? Reality, Spirit of truth. Jesus is saying, when I rise from the dead, I would demand of the Father that you should have the Spirit. How does he define the spirit? What's the adjective? The spirit of reality. What reality? The reality of all I have done. That spirit of the reality of all I've purchased will be given to you. So he says, the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because what? He seeth him, not knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with and shall be in. That's the hallmark of the New Testament. He dwells with, he shall be in. So with means that the activity of the spirit was seen outside of men. In means the activity will now be seen where? Inside of men. So when Jesus said, he dwelleth with, Moses had with, David had with, Ezekiel had with. The one thing they didn't have was him. If a man has the spirit of Christ, he has to be born again. And none of them were born again. Say amen. Amen. So I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall, or they will have the ability to speak with inspired utterances. Implication is this: since I have poured out, you have received, you are endowed. Whether you now prophesy or not, it's no longer a function of if God wants to speak. It's not a function of will you prophesy. They shall. The word shall is the strongest assertion in this language. It simply means this ability is present tense, continuous in every believer. What are they doing with it? Hallelujah. What are they doing with it? So let's go back to that 1 Corinthians 14. Are you getting something this morning? Where were we? Verse 5, right? We've gone to many verses today. So verse 5, I will do verse 6. I want to show you something. I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather you prophesy. For greater is it that prophesies than he that speak with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Why do we prophesy? So that the church may receive what?
edifying. Look at the next verse. Now, brethren, if I, say I, say me, point to yourself, say me. Mm-hmm. I shall point to you, I'm looking, because so you can come and practice scripture that you appointed. Some, you know, this is one of the ways a pastor can get a last in his accounts, because some people were appealing to me during the week that I should not call them out, but I will call them out. Jesus is Lord. See, pastor, what if the Spirit is not leading you? I will lead myself. Hallelujah. Whenever he comes to things of the Spirit, people get a little bit weary. He says, now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with one, so how do you start? How do you start? When you're speaking in tongues, what are you doing? You are desiring spirituals. Say, I desire spirituals. How do you prove it? How do you prove it? Where do you start from? You speak with tongues. So I'm going to count 1 to 2. Everybody starts speaking tongues at once. 1, 2, go. Stop. Some people started, many did not start. Should I tell you why? Those who started are used to speaking most of the time in their own. Those who are still thinking, it doesn't come by thinking. You can't connect with tongues with your mind. It's a function of your will. Your spirit can speak at all times, anytime. It doesn't come from your mind. So stop trying to reason with your mind. That's how to train yourself in spiritual things. When I say start, notice I didn't say that. First warm up, stretch, bend down, stretch backwards, check your voice box, now speak. No. I just said speak. Why? Because you can speak anytime. Say, I can speak anytime I choose to. Okay? I can speak anytime I choose to. So, 1, 2, go. Stop. How many of you took you time to stop? How many were able to stop immediately? Let me say that. You stopped immediately. Let me say that. You were able to stop immediately. Was it difficult to stop? No. Okay. So that means starting and stopping is at whose will? At God's will or at your will? When you spoke now, you fulfilled 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in tongues speaks not unto. Were you speaking to me? Who are you speaking to? Amazing. You mean you can speak to God by yourself? Yes. At will. So, which one should be more difficult? Pay attention. Speaking to God or speaking to men? I didn't hear you. I'm looking at natural racialization. Just racialize naturally. Which one is more difficult? Speaking to God or speaking to men?
Speaking to God.
Did you just speak to God? Yes. Was it easy?
Yes.
Should speaking to men be easier?
Yes.
So, when you want to speak to men now, why do you suddenly engage your mind? You didn't engage your mind when you started speaking to God. You were confident you were speaking to God. Interestingly enough, you use the highest level of faith to speak with tongues. Somebody says, how do I know? Because you don't know what you are saying, yet you believe God was hearing. How many of you? So you have used the highest level of faith. So what you are going to do next to speak to men requires less faith. I'm trying to be as practical as possible. It requires less faith. It does. So let me tell you another thing that happens. When I pick you out and say, you stand up, go to so and so person. You know why you are afraid? Self-conscious. It's not because when you get there, you don't have what to say. It's because you're like, how will I say it? How did you say what you said before? You didn't think. When you are going, also don't think. If you think too much, you will lose what you are meant to give forth. So one of the things you need to lose is lose all sense of reputation. I've told you. You can prophesy in wrong grammar. It is your grammar that is wrong. It's not Spirit of God. It's your grammar. You will still pick out the facts inside what you are saying and enjoy it and be blessed. Because when you are prophesying, you don't suddenly develop ability to speak well. As in, for when you are saying, thou, ho, ye. And we know you have read the law in James. Because that's how you talk normally. So the issue is that you've done the most difficult part. You've spoken with tongues. Who are you speaking to? God. Should it be easier to talk to men or to talk to God? Easier to talk to men, isn't it? So if you did the major part, you spoke to God, should it not be easier to speak to men? Yes.
How do you know you have interpretation? Because the Bible says so, not that you feel so. So you have to leave the realm of feelings. It's not about feeling. The tongues you spoke now didn't come from the realm of feelings. Because we're about to do verse 6. Everything Paul has said is tailoring down to verse 6. He told you in verse 1 what to do. He says, let this be the focal point of everything you're doing. You have to desire. Make sure you are walking love in your heart when you are desiring things of the Spirit. How do you show you desire? You start speaking with tongues. He now says, why don't you take the tongues a bit further and unwrap whatever you said in tongues in a way other people can understand, because it contains things that will bless everybody that hears it. And it says the ability to wrap or unwrap belongs to you. Then we're looking at spiritual gifts. Maybe we'll look at the fact that, because interpretation of tongues is also a revelation gift, really. It is a revelation gift, because in on height, whatever was said in tongues. So it's a cross between utterance and revelation gifts. It's a cross between the two. Think about it. In on height, whatever was spoken in tongues. So it's a cross between utterance and revelation gifts. Look at what verse 6 is. You understand that verse 6? Now, brethren, if I come unto you, what? Speaking with. I think that's simple enough. Steve, come. Yes, come. Come. Go to her, speaking with tongues. Yes. Go to her, speaking with tongues. No English is permitted, tongues alone. We can't hear anything. Yeah, we talk, we want to hear. Go to her, speaking with tongues. We are fulfilling scripture. Speak with tongues. We didn't say laugh with tongues. We just speak with tongues. It's not laughing, it's speaking in tongues. Speak. Is he speaking tongues? You people can hear. Me, I cannot hear. Now, stop. Stop. Go and sit down. I want you something. I want you something. He's very happy. Now, let me tell you something. Now, Steve, was it difficult to come and speak to her in tongues? Paul made it so simple. You need help to miss it. If I come unto you speaking with, he didn't say if I come unto you speaking with revelation. He said, even when I'm coming to you, I don't have his tongues, I have enough currency. I have currency I'm going to use. So if you are waiting to have something, the mistake you are making is you are forgetting you already have something. If I come unto you speaking in what? Tongues. Look at the instruction, look at the next thing. If I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by. And he says, all this is inside the tongues I'm speaking. I can have any of these four in the tongues I'm speaking. But do you have enough material to step out? Yes. What's the material? I can speak with tongues. This is the reason why you cannot say, I don't know how to minister. Because he says, use what every other person has. Oh, Sister Buki always prophesies and gives a revelation. You may not start out that way. Where is the common ground for all of us? All of us can speak with what? If I come on to you speaking with what? Tongues. Why don't you start out with what we all have? Then what you think you don't have will show up. So he's telling you, tongues is hiding many things. Where does he expect you to express faith? Express your faith in starting out. Then other things will now follow. But you start out with what? Tongues. Somehow some of us have a morbid fear of being called up to minister to others. And it's because you've not exercised yourself in. Where does my confidence come from? It's not years of ministry. It is the fact that the word of God cannot lie. Number one, it says that when they were all filled, they began to speak. Number two, it says, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall. That is, they have the ability to what? Prophesy. So I may start out hesitantly. Which is, I'm hesitating as I start out. But I'm going to get better as I yield more and more. How many of you know that? Yeah. That's why it's not wrong for you to want to prophesy somebody and you are starting with only one line, one sentence, even one word. If that's all you started with, continue. Just stay there. If you like, say hallelujah 11 times, we'll wait for you. That's why you can't copy somebody else. It is by your spirit that you are yielding. I don't have to copy you. I don't have to sound like Pastor Tolu. Do you understand? I don't have to. Be comfortable with yourself when it comes to flowing with spirit. Oh, Brother Martins does songs. You don't do songs. Leave Brother Martins alone. Do your own thing the way you know how to do it. How do you start? Everybody can start with what? Songs. What will the tongues contain? It contains other things that are waiting for what? Expression. So since we all have a baseline, what's the baseline? We can all speak with tongues. Then we can move on to other things. Now, I can, by reason of exercising, walk up to anybody and speak with tongues. And in some cases, I can bypass tongues and go straight to prophecy. Or bypass prophecy and go straight to revelation. It's just practice. That's the difference. It's just practice. Because you have practiced over and over. But what is the motivating force in my heart? What's motivating force in my heart? What's motivating in my heart? Follow after love. Desire spirituals. But rather that you may prophesy. So when I'm walking in love, I come to you speaking with tongues. Because he said, but rather that you may prophesy, I will not stay with tongues alone. Because he also said, what will I profit you if I leave it at tongues level? I should move it away from tongues to what? Prophecy or teaching or revelation or instructions. I can, because the abilities were resident. Say, the ability to prophesy is inside of me. If I can speak with tongues, I can also prophesy, for they come from the same source. So by God's spirit, within my spirit, I will pour out that which will bless my neighbor. Hallelujah. Now you are getting set for 28th of this month. What are you doing? He has given you keys. So you spend time speaking with tongues. But you understand that you can go beyond the tongues. Look at verse 14 of chapter 14. Look at verse 14. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15. We're going to stop shortly. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will what? Sing with the spirit. I will sing with. If Paul had been alive in the days of Moses, and he said these things in his synagogue, he will be bound, hand and foot, and cast out. How can you say you will? How? Is it as the spirit wills? But Paul is telling us, I will. Why could Paul say that? Because Paul had the spirit. Say, I have the spirit. The spirit is not a visitor to you. The spirit is a permanent resident in you. How many of you have woken up and the ability to speak tongues was gone? And you prayed, oh God, send the spirit back. How many of you happened to you? It doesn't happen because the spirit dwells in you permanently. So that means expressing the spirit is now a personal responsibility of every single believer. Say, it's my responsibility to express the spirit. So one more time, we're going to practice before we go. One more time, everybody start speaking to us. One, two, go. Rose vrada kala, stiki le glishte. Esuzo brosta vragatu li ingadishte. Seku kala ba. Esu gambro, ne kile gin. Edo dundreshte kula graste kususu brokusta gile gishte. Esuzo dra, talagatu brati kile glishte. Nio sambrado, lunyengra. E galundre, ele grunste kele gite. Nio sambro di kalagaste. Neso, neso, neso balo. Bandre keshto. Gunzo steve lananga. Anglanum, Rusivrediana gile kigichi great to go sevredike, a grown up rastele gile cash the cases ebris to guligay, inogala, evrosia, leni jundro kate, a sugundra katoli ganjte, a susundro da kiligar, and a gumro, sevraganta lagiste, a susokro da gala griste keste, a sesobro naga, le grossoliga gile kiste urgus, a susobrosta bracala gakile gigishibrekusta grabrana gile gile chico. Stop. Sincerely, sincerely, how many of us felt something rise up on our inside? Let me see. That wasn't there on the inside speaking. Okay. So is it safe to say tongues is a way of bringing, making your mind conscious of deposits that you have, but that's beyond the realm of the senses? Let me see. So is it safe to say that when you were praying in tongues that you were stirring up yourself? Is it safe to say that? Is it safe to say that when you are stirred up, other things will come forth? Is it safe to say that? So you notice that by practice, you get into the operation of things that have always been there, but are not available to the senses. Okay? If I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you?
What should be my aim? I should plan to profit you. And he says, I can choose to. It's no longer something that God does. It's something God does through me because I choose to what? So I'm just a vessel. I'm yielded. That also means if I don't yield, I'm actually hindering God. Because he wants to bless people at all times. So God says, if you can speak to me whenever you want to, I can speak through you whenever I also want to. Hallelujah. Can you see the arrangement? So when you come to speak, you come because you want to bless the person. The same things that were said to you or whatever you discuss with the Father in tongues can be said in such a way to enrich another in understanding. We call it interpretation of tongues or prophecy. Hallelujah. It's done deliberately. That's why I said that once you can do tongues, you have created the substance out of which interpretation will come. So the major faith really is speaking the tongues. It's not interpretation. Because without tongues, there can be what? Interpretation. So if tongues give out interpretation, which one is more important, the tongues or interpretation? The tongues are interpretation. In the language, look at it in the way I'm saying it. The tongues are interpretation. The tongues. Because you can't have interpretation without what? Tongues. You cannot prophecy without tongues. You can't have interpretation without tongues. So tongues or interpretation depends on what tongues. And the substance of what you interpret is where? Inside the tongues. So if you had faith to speak with the tongues, will interpretation come? Yes, it will come. So don't think of it as something that's more difficult. Think of it as something that is easier to do. I'm staying here for a reason. I want minister to her. He believes in you, even as you trust him. Your words will not fall to the ground. Relent not in the confession of your lips. Don't quit. Take your stand. The miracle is near. The sound is here. And the victory is sure. And your testimony has arrived. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he says, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you? Except means that part is not my responsibility. Should I leave it at tongues? Or should I say more? That's my responsibility. That's not God. That's me. I can choose to. Inasmuch as I had the utterance in tongues, what will make me think that God wants to leave the person I'm speaking to in mystery? So if I don't tell the person the rest, it's not God, it is me that refuse to what? Say what the rest actually is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what we are doing in this season is that we have to embolden ourselves because there are things God wants to say through you to somebody else. And interestingly enough, many times when God says those things to the same person, when you walk up to them and tell them the same thing, how many of you know that their faith goes through the roof? You know, it's very interesting that we have a way of doubting what God tells us. You say, that's just me. It's just me. I'm just thinking it. Then you ask yourself, were you thinking like that yesterday? The thought came now, and I say, I'm thinking. So that is, God is speaking to you, and you're telling us, Sivradu legishten istugradu sita. Just at the tail end, just at the finish line, just at the time of manifestation, now your heart shakes and you tell yourself, will it ever come to pass? It has come to pass already. The manifestation of it is taking shape. And you're seeing first the hair, then the full corn in the hair. And you'll have in your hand all that you have stirred, all that you have believed, all you have desired. You'll have the full manifestation and you will not be ashamed. For his word is true and his word is given. His praise is in that which he has spoken to you of. So let your heart be steady and let your understanding be clear. And that which he has spoken forth will come to pass without a fail. Hallelujah. 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 Bezugrand. Drawing from the surface, allowing that which you are using to fetch water, to touch water on the surface, will not really get you much. For it's responsible for why you've not gone into the deeper things of the spirit. But no, reach in and say, if necessary, I will not just use a fetcher, I will jump in myself. And I will bring out all that the Father has wrought. For there is nothing impossible, and the deadline shall be a reference point as a testimony. And that which was supposed to bring shame shall be a point of promotion and increase. And abundance will come. Nothing is dry. Nothing is dry. The appearance of dryness is a lie of the enemy. All around you, all around you is abundance and provision. And his mercy that has revealed will manifest even more in favor. And you will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. Just at the time you were thinking of using the arm of the flesh to pursue that which is rightfully yours, remember, he that has begun a good work, he will perfect it. Don't go by the arm of the flesh. Stay in the spirit. And let my wisdom play out. And let my grace furnish things. The provisions shall be. The answer shall come. The grace shall be seen. The power will be manifest. And great will be your testimony and your reward. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we can continue on and on. What's the first step? You just speak. You just speak. You just speak. You just speak. And from speaking, many other things will begin to come forth. So God has commissioned that every single believer can speak. And then all that he wants to say, all he wants to bring out, will come as you are speaking. So the more you speak, therefore, the more you give God room to express. Remember, there is an account we draw from, the finished work of Christ. In that account, there is no such thing as impossible. For in that account, all things are possible. So you've been speaking to him. And as you spoke to him, nothing on the outside seems to be taking shape. But the stem is growing. And the flesh and the cells and the tissues are forming. And that which was not is being created. And the words of your lips carry life and power. And you'll see the answer in the days to come. So do not let the order of the senses draw you back from that strong confession of your lips. That spirit-inspired confession, for the angels attest to the fact that even in quiet, even in darkness, your words are light. And you keep speaking. And you will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. You will not be ashamed. Glory to God. There is always a way out for those who trust in him. There's always avenue for those who look to him. There is never an end as long as our assurance is from him and your assurance is from him. So miraculously, a way has been supplied. Miraculously, even that which was meant to bring an end will produce a new beginning, a new starting. And in that new beginning, that's where your dance is. That's where your victory is. That's where your rejoicing is. So rejoice in it and understand, it's not an end, it's a beginning itself. It's a beginning itself. Glory to God forever. It's a beginning itself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Except I shall come to you either by revelation, by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. Except. So it pushes the responsibility upon the speaker. What are you going to do? That's what it says. Since this is all this contains, what will you do with it? Will you ignore? Or will you act on it? Will you flow with it? Will you step back from it? That's what it means. Hallelujah. That's what it means. So you are the one that decides, I'll move on a little bit more. Let him that speaks in tongues pray that he may what? Interpret. So before we go this morning, one more time, all of us, I want to ask you to come out. Is it time for that? All of us, let all speak in tongues. One, two, go. Let him pray that he may interpret. Let him pray that he may interpret. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, for no reason why you can explain, when we started speaking now, how many of you sense angelic activity? Let me see your hand. You can't explain why. How many of you just sort of, it's as though you saw, you sense angelic activity? Let me see your hand. Anyone? Anyone? You sense or saw angelic activity just now as we're speaking? Anyone? Okay? No, besides you. Any other person you saw sense angelic activity? We're going to pray again. Speak in tongues again. Want to go? Stop. Let me tell you the way some of you are doing it.
You are not desiring anything. You are desiring nothing. It's only the food in your house that you are desiring. Desire means let your attention be on what you are saying. That's what desire means. I mean, your mouth is speaking, your spirit, in fact, your mind has gone home, seated before a bowl of Indomie, and speak deliberately with a consciousness. If you want to get interpretation, be conscious of what you are saying, not just, and your mind is firing. Let your mind be in what you are saying. Amen? When I say your mind, I mean let your attention and focus. I'm not saying your mind will interpret it. That's how interpretation comes. Because your mind is like, a good news, you stand at attention, watching, knowing that which will come will not fail to come because it's already there. And the Father has given the ability for you to receive from your spirit, resident in everyone who is a son. So your mind stays at the door like a sentry, waiting to receive instructions that can never fail to come. So when you're speaking, your mind is waiting for the instructions that will comfort from what you have said, because certain things will dawn upon your consciousness. It may dawn upon you in the vision form, it may dawn upon you in image form, it may dawn upon you as a clear instruction or directive concerning what to do, but something will dawn upon your consciousness as interpretation every time you speak that way, if you are conscious of it. Hallelujah. So there's a consciousness. So when you're going to pray now, pray consciously. Amen. Want to go for random. Amen. Amen. Okay. How many of us had impressions now? Okay. You had an impression when you were praying. Okay. I know an accident was just prevented. That's why you went just like that. Yes. An accident was just prevented. Which is one of the things that the angels that we saw earlier is meant to do, to stop an accident from taking place. And sometimes, if God were to open your eyes to see every day what you are saved from, there's very little that you see, or what you are rescued from. Very little that you see. You just see some. You don't know how many that you are rescued from daily. Hallelujah. So imagine if you speak more like this. What it does is that it not only releases the ability, but you become more conscious of what God is doing in your sin realm on your behalf. Amen. Let's lift up our hands and give him praise this morning. I'm thanking. It's getting better.